with candor hand, he lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me.
Some of that experience this morning. Shall we turn to Psalm 100? Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. I want to speak this morning on thanksgiving and praise. There is an order here. It is twice repeated in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. But notice, enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. And then bless his name. I want to notice that the little word bless here, we will see more of this as we go on in the message, but the word bless literally means to kneel. It's an act of adoration and praise. And so I want to see in the message today that thanksgiving, while very necessary, there's no substitute for it, as we will see here momentarily. Thanksgiving is only the beginning of deep worship and praise, adoration unto the Lord. So we enter his gates with thanksgiving, but we go further than that into his courts with praise. Thanksgiving is so vital to our experience. It is something that we really must not get away from. Scripture is very clear. First, we'll not turn to these, but you can make a reference to them. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says it this way, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks is the will of God, a part of his purpose and intent for us. Ephesians 5:20 says it this way, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and then be ye thankful. It's just almost a command, be ye thankful. In this particular case, the context of it is the peace of God ruling in your hearts. And you are called to that, so be thankful for that peace which God has given in your hearts. There are a number of other times, quite a number of times, where that giving thanks is for some specific thing. And indeed, that is wonderful. We'll not turn there again, but the 17th chapter of Luke, remember that Jesus healed 10 lepers. But it was really a marvel that as they went, Jesus told them, it's interesting how they stepped out on faith, how they believed God at that particular time. But Jesus saw them and they cried out to him to have mercy on us, Master. And he told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. That's what they were supposed to do. That was according to the law. Only the priest could pronounce them clean. But the scripture says, as they went, they realized they were healed. They stepped out by faith to do what Jesus said. But as they were going, they realized they were healed. But isn't it a marvel that only one of them turned back to give thanks? And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? And yet only one returned, and he was a Samaritan. This tells us a little bit about thanksgiving. Sometimes people seem to think that God owes it to them, or other people owe it to them, so there's no reason to give thanks. That's not true. Everything that we have comes from God, and he is deserving of our thanks before him. And so it is important that we never develop the idea that God owes us. I've been greatly disappointed for quite a number of years because so many, it seems, of the younger generation, they are given things from different people. They never even acknowledge it. That's wrong, because it either says, you owe it to me, or I had it coming anyway, so there's no reason for thanksgiving. There is plenty of reason for thanksgiving, both to God and indeed unto man. I think of another time that was very specific in the life of David. Again, you'll find the story in 1 Chronicles 16. And David wrote a psalm around it. And he said, then on that day. That day was a reference to the day when the ark was to return to Jerusalem. I'm sure you remember the story how that David wanted to bring the ark to Jerusalem, but instead of doing it God's way, they put it on a cart the way the Philistines had done. Philistines got away with it because they didn't know better, but Israel did. And so we find out that God would not allow them to move the ark in that way. A man was killed because of it. David was displeased with that. But evidently somebody went back to the scripture and found out the right way to move the ark. And so they put it on the shoulders of the priests as it should have been. And then it came to Jerusalem. And then David wrote this wonderful psalm. On that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks, he said, unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds. The deed here was the ark coming to Jerusalem. So there are many times in our lives that it is very proper to give thanks, even specifically for certain things in our experience. I want to notice, however, that in verse 34 of that same chapter, David said this in that same psalm, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. There are some specifics when it comes to giving thanks. But I want to notice in our psalm here, and again here in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and then into his courts with praise. The sad fact is that many of God's people never get beyond the gate. They just enter, and that's all they know. That's all they experience. But there are depths in the courts beyond. And so we are exhorted, yes, enter the gate, but continue on into his courts. We're told again, be thankful when you enter those gates. But notice again, we are told to bless his name. I want to enlarge upon this matter of blessing the Lord, so to speak. We turn to Psalm 103. Again, the word bless. It is a word which takes us beyond just a simple thanksgiving, so to speak. It means to kneel. It's an act of adoration. It is praise. And then you'll notice verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. David is speaking to his soul. This is important as we go through this psalm because it indicates those things which are within and not simply on the outward things that men give thanks for. We are glad to hear of this time, this season of thanksgiving, when people are called to remember the blessings and things of this nature. That is all well and good. But we must go further. We must go deeper than that. And so David says it this way, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He is speaking of those things that are within and not just these outward material things that so many are occupied with today. They are good. We should give thanks for them. They come from God, but there are things greater and there are things deeper. We must discover the deeper bounty of God's provision, and that is within his courts, so to speak. So giving thanks at the gate is just the beginning here. And so David speaks to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Verse 2, repeat, bless the Lord, O my soul. All of these things that are inward. You will notice in verse 1, bless his holy name. There have been many messages preached on the power of that name, the benefit of that name. I'm sure there will be many, many more. I just want to point out one benefit that applies so much to our situation today. Paul says in Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And so the name that we are talking about here is specifically the name of Jesus. God has highly exalted him, as we see here. But you will notice that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, we bow our knee willingly in praise and adoration. We bless the Lord in such a manner as that, as we see from the meaning of the word. But in this day, when we have so many governments and those over us, not only here but around the world, who have made decisions that are hurting people, this is where we must understand we have to look to God who is over all of them. Bless the name of the Lord. He's been exalted and he still has power. God will take care of his own, even in these times of self-inflicted damage, God is still for his own. And this is why we can bless the name of the Lord from the depths of our heart, from our soul, knowing that God deserves that credit and indeed that recognition. The wonderful meaning of this is that this translates to his total protection in the name of Jesus. And so let's continue here in Psalm 103. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. I want to point out again that David is specifically talking about the benefits to his soul. As we'll see here in just a moment, there are things that we know certainly do apply to the body and things of this nature, but these are those inward benefits of the soul that we must be cognizant of. Let us understand this. Unless we know what these benefits are and have experienced them, we will not be able to bless his name for these benefits. There are seven of them that we are going to consider. That doesn't mean that's all of them. It's just those that are considered in this psalm. There are countless benefits that God has given to us, but David specifically mentions these seven, and of course it tells us of the number of completion, the finisher, so to speak. And so we are well-rounded and all included here insofar as benefits are concerned. And so as we read here, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's the very first benefit that we learn when we call on the name of the Lord. There is salvation in none other except that. But as I meditated on this, I suddenly realized that there are people that really never grasp that. There are those who don't believe in eternal life. They simply think there is some other sin that is going to sneak upon them and somehow they're going to wind up in hell. He said all iniquities are forgiven. And the reason he can say that is because all iniquities were laid on Jesus at the cross. There aren't any more. We rejoice when we understand that glorious truth. But if people don't understand that truth, how can they bless the Lord for it? It is important. It is imperative. We understand that there is only one reason. We have seen it over and over and over again. There is only one reason that men go to hell. It's not because of their sin, so to speak. It's because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no forgiveness for that. But otherwise, he forgiveth all thine iniquities. Next one, who healeth all thy diseases. Now we could, and it certainly does apply, that he heals the diseases of the body. But how about the diseases of the soul? Perhaps we've never thought of that. The soul is the seat of our affection, our desires. I'll guarantee you those desires need to be changed. And God is changing them. He is healing them day by day, transferring them from the lust which we had once toward the flesh in the soul. Now they are directed toward the Lord. And these wonderful things, he heals all your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems thy life from destruction. This is a continuation of that wonderful truth of everlasting life, eternal life. The moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, our life is preserved forevermore, cannot be destroyed. And so he preserves us, he redeems your life from destruction. Then he crowns thee with loving kindness. This is such a wonderful point here. The word loving kindness means kindness by implication towards God. It's piety. And I thought that was such a wonderful expression in the meaning of the word. We know that any spiritual fruit we have, in fact, anything we have, but we're speaking of spiritual fruitfulness here. This is the fruit of the soul, so to speak, as David is speaking to his soul. And so that fruit is given to us by God. The very first thing we are to do is to give it right back to him. God, he laid hold, he claimed the first fruit in everything. So no matter what the fruitfulness is in our lives, not simply in our money and things of this nature, but whatever fruitfulness is in our lives, the first part goes right back to God. And so we find here that we are to bless his name, that we have been crowned with this loving kindness. He imparts that kindness to us. We in turn, and hopefully immediately, render it right back unto him. Now notice the next part. He crowns thee with loving kindness. The next one is tender mercies. This word means, these words means, it's a reference to the womb, a woman's womb, as cherishing the fetus. It means compassion, tender love, mercy. This indicates the compassion or the love that we show to others round about us. God first, and then show that same compassion and love, mercy unto those round about us, all because God has crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Next, verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I want to notice that these two, a reference to mercy and satisfying your mouth, meaning satisfying it with truth, that's exactly the same truth as we saw in Psalm 100 and verse 5, which says, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. These wonderful blessings come down, of course, his grace and his truth unto us. Again, I would remind us that truth, mercy, God's goodness, all of those are at the gate. But the sad fact is that many of God's people never go beyond the gate. It is up to us whether we enter into those gates and on into his courts, and we begin to praise and we begin to worship. We begin to bow our knee to him in adoration because of the depth and the bounty of these things. And so while some go a certain portion insofar as truth is concerned, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, others are consumed with that truth. And that's exactly what we should be. Blessing the name of the Lord for the depths of the truth that he has chosen to reveal to us. We've mentioned the different mysteries at times, and they belong to God, but when he chooses to show those same mysteries of truth to us, we should be those who bless the name of the Lord indeed because of it. So he satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Both John and Ezekiel had the same wonderful experience. They were both told to eat the little book. It shall be in your mouth sweet as honey, but in your belly it shall be bitter. The thing is, we must take that little book, the fullness of it, that God might satisfy thy mouth with good things. Satisfaction is one of the greatest blessings that there are in this world. If a person is satisfied, what else is there? Let's just make sure we're satisfied with the right thing. satisfied with the good things of the gospel. So he satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Notice further, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. This once again is a reference to Jesus. The youth renewed like the eagle. Read the second chapter of Revelation. Four living ones, or beasts as they are called there. One of them was like the flying eagle. That is an expression of Christ, the Son of God, in a believer. I've always loved, for many years, loved that wonderful expression, a flying eagle. He's not bound by anything. Talk about freedom, and they are so majestic, soaring around, and like they own the heavens, which they do. And that, of course, is true of Christ. He is that flying, victorious, free eagle. The same thing is to be true in our lives, will be true in our lives, when, as we read here, your strength is renewed like the eagle. And so today, we can indeed be like unto him as we take these things that he has given to us, imparted to us. And so we enter his gate with thanksgiving, but let's not stay there. Let us go further. We must lay hold of all of the courts of God's continued blessings, provisions, bounty that he has given to us in redemption. And so today, bless his name. We all tell our soul the same thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.